You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Yes, hello, welcome along to The Punt. We've got an action-packed midweek of Premier League football to look forward to. Five games throughout the course of the week. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined in the studio by Dave Kellner, and Derek McGovern is on the line for us as well. How are you, chaps?
Yeah, very well. Great weekend of football, wasn't it? And more to come this midweek. Great stuff.
Yeah, I'm well, thank you, Mark. Looking forward to the midweek action. Five games to preview, and we're going to tip a winner in every single game this week. Convinced.
When you're in the studio, Dave, I'm not too sure.
Lie to me, Mark. Lie to me.
Oh, it's nailed on, of course. Before we get stuck into the midweek stuff, though, the five games we're going to look at, let's just have a quick chat about what happened at the weekend and the Premier League title race, because Leicester slipping up a little bit. They've managed to salvage a 2-2 draw with West Ham, and as Tottenham play Monday night and Leicester don't play through the midweek, we could see a few changes at the top of the table, or in terms of points difference anyway.
Yeah, we could. I think Leicester City at the right price at 1-4 to win the title still, despite that 2-2 draw. But I thought the referee, John Morse, had a pretty poor game refereeing the game between Leicester and West Ham. But I thought he got the Jamie Vardy decision, Derek, spot on. It was a clear dive as far as I was concerned. I couldn't believe how many top football journalists on Twitter suggested that it wasn't.
That was a dive without question. I don't even think he got... You could tell a dive was in his mind as soon as he got clear. And he's done it many times, hasn't he? He only needs the slightest touch to go down, in common with most Premier League strikers, by the way. I'm not just singling him out. But I think the big question was the first one. And the first one was never a yellow card anyway, was it?
No.
So maybe he shouldn't have got sent off for that, but certainly it was a dive. He had no room to protest for that one.
It'll be interesting to see if he's got the one-match ban, the automatic one-match ban for the red card, but he was wagging his finger in John Moss's face as well. So I wonder if there'll be further retribution from the FA because of that, and that ban might be extended to two or possibly three games, which would maybe change the outcome of the title race, because his first goal was taken superbly, and without him in the team, I presume they'll have Leonardo Ochoa leading the line, and he's a good solid player and did well when he came on, but he's not a bona fide goal scorer like Vardy is. So if it does become two or three matches Vardy's got out, there's a chance for Tottenham, if they can beat Stoke this evening, of them putting some real pressure on Leicester. And the first minor wobble we've seen from Leicester.
Well, I thought they were really poor. They've been getting all kinds of praise for battling back for a point with 10 men. But he should never have got that last penalty. It was never a penalty in a month of Sundays. And I thought they were really poor. And I'm beginning to sense a big wobble here. They've got a tough run in. Okay, they've got an easiest game coming up against, I think it's Swansea. But the ones after that are not that easy. And I tell you what, who I was most disappointed in was Drinkwater. I thought he had an absolute stinker yesterday. Stinkwater, in fact. I suggest if Tottenham win on Monday night against Stoke, I'm going to back him for the title. That's a tough game, that Stoke one. Most people will be listening to this after the game, so I might be looking like an absolute egg here. But I do feel like Tottenham have got a bit of momentum behind them, and I think Leicester have shown this clear sign of distress. I know as we speak, there's an 8-point gap. Tottenham have got a game in hand, which of course is the Monday night game. Be 5 points if they win that. You know what? I can see them doing it. I can see Spurs doing it if they beat Stoke.
3-1.
Yeah, I was going to say Leicester are 1-4 still. Tottenham 3-1. Arsenal 80-1, and Man City 100-1. That's the market as it stands. It was never going to be plain sailing, though, was it? They weren't just going to win every game remaining. So I know you're saying you think it'd be a bit of a wobble here, Derek. But the fact that they still got a point out of a game where they didn't play very well, the old mark of champions in quote marks, is that not the case there?
Yeah, possibly. But they were winning. When you're champion, you win those games and they're not playing well, 1-0, as they had been doing. I couldn't see anything from them. If you watch Sunday's game without knowing that Leicester were 5 points or whatever it was clear at the top, you'd never believe they were tabletoppers. I thought it was a really dismal performance from them. Great goal by Vardy, but he's been doing that all season long. I desperately want them to win the title. Obviously, most of us do. But I just saw that 90 minutes. There was enough evidence there to suggest there's going to be a lot of squeaky bums going on in the around the East Midlands area.
All right. just so we can get so we're not ignoring it completely as well, Spurs play on Monday night, obviously. If you want to hear the preview for that game in full, you can listen to the weekend edition of The Punt. But just a quick recap, guys, what did you go for in Stoke against Spurs?
I fancy Spurs quite strongly this evening. I think they'll go to Stoke, a Stoke City side who haven't been playing well. I think they'll win comprehensively. I like the enhanced odds offer. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win was 13-8. It's now 2-1. I think that's a good bet tonight.
All right.
Yeah, and Kane, of course, has got a big chance now in the golden boot, hasn't he? He's on 22 goals, the same as Vardy. And, of course, Vardy's out for at least one game. So, yeah, you know, advantage Kane.
All right. Let's get stuck into the action that we're going to focus on mainly anyway. We've got a Tuesday night game to kick off. Newcastle play host to Manchester City. Newcastle are 9-2. The draw is 14-5. Man City are 8-13. Enhanced odds for this game. Andros Townsend to score in a Newcastle win. That was 10-1. That's now 14-1. And Kevin De Bruyne to score in a Man City win was 21-10. That's now 3-1. These two sides need points for very different reasons. Newcastle bidding to stay up. They had a confidence-boosting win at the weekend, if nothing else. Man City bidding to secure that Champions League place, and they're flying at the moment through to the semi-finals of the Champions League as well. So we'll start with you, Derek. Is this a Man City win here, or can Newcastle keep up the fight?
Well, I'll tell you what, the prices suggest City have only got to turn up to win. 8-13 away from home, but... You know, you look at City's away record, it ain't that great, is it? They played 16 games away from home and they failed to win 9 of them. You know, and we're asking them to back them at odds on here against a side that maybe now finally got the bit between their teeth. And remember Newcastle at home, people are giving a Newcastle all kinds of stick, but their home record, they've won as many home games as Chelsea this season. You know, the 5 home games when they've won and 6 draws. It's not the shabbiest home record for Newcastle. I've just got a feeling they're overpriced. I really do. You could argue that City have still got an awful lot to play for in the battle for fourth, but it should actually be the battle for third spot, you know, because the team that finishes fourth aren't automatically in the Champions League if Liverpool win the Europa League. They don't qualify. So, you know, you need to finish third. So City, I suppose, I have got it all to play for. But I suspect deep down they've got their eyes, more than one eye, on the Champions League. I'm not getting worked up by the ease with which they beat Chelsea at the weekend. Chelsea have definitely given up for the season. I just think Newcastle are overpriced here. That win, the momentum they'll gain from that win at the weekend, it's incalculable. I'm going for Newcastle here. I think they're overpriced.
If they win as well, they could leap out of the relegation zone, couldn't they, if they win this game on Tuesday night?
Yeah, well, they will do, actually, because they're a goal worse off in goal difference. But, of course, if they win, that improves that automatically, and they're 3 points behind Norwich, so they were fourth from bottom. So, yeah, a win will take them above Norwich.
Mm. Dave?
I'm not having it. I know that Derek made mention of the home records, Newcastle's home record, and compared it to Chelsea. Chelsea have been rubbish all season, Derek.
But the 10th, though, aren't they? The 10th, and it wouldn't be 9-2 to beat Man City.
That's true, they wouldn't be, but Chelsea are a much better side than Newcastle. And I think that 3-0 win against Swansea at the weekend really flattered Newcastle, as far as I'm concerned. They had some real chances at 1-0 down Swansea to get on the score sheet there and put even more pressure on Newcastle. Jefferson Montero should have brought the sides level. And you look at the setup Newcastle had in that game with Jamal Lascelles and Chancel Mbemba playing at centre-half alongside each other. Paul Dummett and Vernon Anita played at wing-back. I think Manchester City will have so much joy down the flanks against those two players if they set up the same way on Tuesday night. And Manchester City have just an incredible record against Newcastle United. They've won 12 straight against Newcastle in the Premier League. In their last two meetings, they've scored 11 goals against Newcastle as well. Admittedly, both of those came at the Etihad. They won 5-0. And 6-1. And the -1, Manchester City -1, has landed in the last 10 league meetings between the two sides as well. I don't think Newcastle are good enough defensively to keep City at bay here. And I believe they were very much flattered by that 3-0 win at the weekend. If Sergio Aguero starts, which I suppose is an if, because he is due a rest, Sergio Aguero, but you look at his record recently in the league, he's scored 14 in his last 14, Sergio Aguero, in the Premier League, and he's got his best record against Newcastle than better record against Newcastle than any other side in the Premier League. He's scored 10 in 8 against Newcastle. I think he'll get 2 or more in this game. Sergio Aguero to score 2 or more is in the betting at 15-4. He's on 99 Premier League goals as well. If he scores on Tuesday night, it will be his 100th, and he'll be the second quickest to 100 Premier League goals in the competition as well. Alan Shearer is the man that got more than him. He scored 124 appearances, and this is 147 for Aguero. But I see no way Newcastle win this game. I think
You are forgetting the golden rule of football. Nobody beats Newcastle 13 times on the road.
That was the great interview with Robin Söderling, wasn't it? Rafa Nadal at the French Open. That was fantastic. I reckon Aguero has a field day here, assuming he starts. City minus one at 29-20 is stick on, and Aguero 2 or more at 15-4.
Yeah, Aguero's got more goals in this calendar year than anybody else as well, just to back up your arguments. Differing opinions there then in that game. Let's move on to Wednesday evening. We'll start with the live game. A Merseyside derby to get stuck into. Liverpool play host to Everton. Liverpool are 4-5. The draw 5-2 and Everton are 7-2. Philippe Coutinho to score and Liverpool to win is 3-1 from 9-4. And Ross Barkley to score in an Everton win. That was 15-2. That's now 10-1. Liverpool will be... Well, they'll be on top of the world right now, won't they, Dave? We'll start with you. They threw in the Europa League to the semi-finals after that fantastic last-gasp win against Borussia Dortmund. They backed that up with a win over Bournemouth at the weekend. And Everton, we say every time we talk about Everton on the punt, the squad is there, the players are there, but they don't seem to get the results they should. So, do Liverpool win the Merseyside derby?
Yeah, I think so. I think they might win this pretty convincingly as well. They were good, I thought, at the weekend because I napped Bournemouth, so Liverpool were always going to win that game, obviously. but I thought Derek, he blooded some of the youngsters, didn't he? And they played really well. I was really impressed with them.
Yeah, they did. But, you know, when you're blooding youngsters, it's a bit easier to do that against the Bournemouth side. You've got nothing to play for. Quite a bit different when you're playing in the heat of a Merseyside derby. You know, if they were to come in and play in this game, and there's a chance that they might, I'm not sure they'd be quite so effective.
I think he'll play a stronger side than he did at the weekend, definitely. But yeah, I was impressed. Ojo looked very good as well. I think he maybe might start in this game. And, of course, Daniel Sturridge is getting back to his best. And I've been questioning whether he should go to the Euros throughout the course of the season. But you see him play like he did against Bournemouth on Sunday, scored once and hit the woodwork twice, and you think, wow, if this guy can keep his fitness going, he could be challenging Harry Kane and Jamie Vardy for that top spot in the starting 11 as well, because he was sensational, I thought, and his movement's superb. If he improves his finishing slightly, I think he could be a real threat for those places in the summer for England. I think he's a bet to score a goal in this game. He's even money to score any time. Liverpool have got a really good record in the Merseyside derbies recently as well. 6 of the last 7 have been drawn, but Liverpool are unbeaten in the last 10 Premier League Merseyside derbies. They've won 3, drawn 7 of those. I suppose you could look at the draw, but I think Liverpool just riding a crest on the crest of a wave at the moment, and Everton have been very average recently. They've not won in 5 and they've drawn 3 straight games. They are better away from home, undoubtedly, but Liverpool win this, and I think they win convincingly. The goal scorers are like Sturridge, I mentioned. Roberto Firmino, you've got to look at him as well. He's been firing recently. He's been involved in 12 goals in his last 11 Premier League games, scoring 8 times and assisting 4. So I'll be with Liverpool to win, both teams to score, and Sturridge and Firmino both to get on the score sheet.
Yeah, you highlighted Everton's record in the Merseyside derbies there. You've got to go all the way back to 2010 for the last win in a Merseyside derby, and that's a stat I rolled out last year, and it's got a year further on. Derek, can you see a surprise here? Can Everton step up in this Merseyside derby, or will it go to, I suppose, form at the moment and go with Liverpool?
Well, Liverpool are in best form, undoubtedly. Everton got a cup semi-final coming up at the weekend, so, you know, you forgive them for taking a foot off the gas in any other fixture. But this is a Merseyside derby, and, you know, Martinez can't, the manager, the under-fire manager of Everton, he can't afford to let his team coast this game because and lose in the Merseyside derby, because you know what would happen. 7-2 is big for Everton here, but it's the most insignificant Merseyside derby I can remember. it really doesn't matter the hell of beans who wins this one, does it? They haven't got bigger fish to fry in the FA Cup semi-final, Liverpool in the Europa League semi-final. That's where all their focus is. I can see a few changes being made here. It's terrible, isn't it? You know, the fans won't be happy, but I can see both managers doing that. What I'm saying is I couldn't back Liverpool at odds on, even though they're in much better form. Not with all those imponderables. A few weeks ago, if I'd have seen Everton at 7-2 for this, I would have lumped on for my life. But two, you know, again, you may be questioning their commitment with the cup semi-final coming up. The draw, it looks all over the draw for me. This 5-2, could even go further and say it'll be a 0-0 draw, because I don't see what both either side, even though the fans we should be worked up for it, I don't see either set of players being 100% committed.
I know what you're saying about maybe some changes here, Derek, but Jurgen Klopp made his changes for that game on Sunday to get ready for this game on Wednesday, surely, because they've got...
Why would it be a league game the same as this one? It's only 3 points.
This is bigger, though, Derek. You know that. Merseyside derby compared to playing Bournemouth away from home.
Yeah, I know. This isn't a big derby. No one, to be honest, there's no fever about this derby on Merseyside. It's just like...
I know it's classed as a friendly derby, but surely...
No, it's not. It's not anymore. It used to be. Not anymore.
Surely Jurgen Klopp comes into this club and thinks Liverpool versus Everton. He's told about the Merseyside derby. They've got Bournemouth away at the weekend. He does make wholesale changes in that match and brings in those youngsters that we talked about. And surely that's to get ready for this game, that he's rested the players so they are all set for this Merseyside derby, because they've got Newcastle at home this weekend. And then we're talking another 8 days until... 8 days from Wednesday until the clash against Villarreal. So I think he makes changes on Sunday, obviously, and then weakens down again on Saturday and puts a full-strength side out for this game on Wednesday night.
Well, it remains to be seen. I would suggest not.
Right.
But we'll see.
I'm going to weigh in here as well.
Go on.
If I'm Jurgen Klopp right now, I'm thinking, we beat Everton in the Merseyside derby after the week we've had. How much of a high is the club on and the fans are on? And everything else building up to the Europa League tie next week. It keeps the momentum going. He's bought into the Anfield on a European night kind of thing, bought into all the Liverpool history. And to win a Merseyside derby must be a priority at the moment as well to keep all that going.
Yeah, I agree with you, actually. And I know from a betting perspective, a lot of people will be thinking about, we've not got the card markets yet.
No.
Just quickly. But there have not been many red cards in this fixture. It is still the fixture with the most red cards in Premier League history, 20 of them in total. But there hasn't been a red card in the last 8 meetings. Maybe that
we're overdue.
Yeah, we are overdue. We could be. Maybe the friction between the two sides has slightly dissipated, Derek, and that's something that you made mention of.
Yeah, well, to be honest, a lot of Liverpool fans, they hated David Moyes. And Martinez is not really, he's the acceptable face of Everton to Liverpool fans. And I'm guessing Klopp in a similar way is to Everton fans too. Everton fans couldn't bear Rafa Benitez. So, you know, it's like, I don't hate Man United as much now as I used to when they were managed by Fergie. Quite apart from the fact that they win nothing these days. But, you know, it's the identity of the managers really that sometimes stokes the fire. And with these two involved, they're more genial than hated. So I just see a lessening of the Merseyside derby fever. I'm just not feeling it at the moment. Okay. But it might just be me.
Yeah, I'd agree with the Man United thing as well. Now I look at Man United and I see Louis van Gaal and I just laugh. I'm not hating him at all.
Yeah.
Let's look at some of the other games on Wednesday evening as well. We'll start with West Ham against Watford. West Ham are 8-13, the draw 14-5. Watford are 9-2. Enhanced odds for this game, Dimitri Payet to score in a West Ham win is 3-1, having been 11-5. And Troy Deeney to score in a Watford win is 10-1, having formerly been 15-2. The wheels have just come off West Ham a little bit in the last few weeks. They can't win a game at the moment, Derek.
I know, and the 7 points off fourth spot, you know, and in those fourth spot, third and fourth spot, Man City and Arsenal, they're not going to give Man City and Arsenal a 7-point start with just five games to play and catch them. So any idea that, you know, they try and put a top four, I think that's over. And if that is the case, they're no better here at 8-13 against the Watford side, who really should have been looking at the FA Cup at the weekend, but it was still good enough to pick up 3 points.
They only picked up 3 points because Berahino missed two penalties, though.
Yeah, true. I've got a sneaking fancy for Watford here, but I'll go for a draw. I think 14-5, the draw rate looks a bit big. West Ham are too short, basically. They're sad that's not winning enough games to be worth betting them back in the 8-13. When again, you know, they might well have thought, well, we've had a season and a half. Let's have a little five games, a bit of a rest now. Because is there anything in it for West Ham, do you reckon?
No, I don't think there is anything in for West Ham, but I don't think Slaven Bilic is the type of manager that would allow them an easy ride. Mm. I can't see West Ham switching off. And let's face it here, they were moments away and one bad decision away from winning at the league leaders at the weekend. If you look at it from that perspective, they've got loads of goals in the team, West Ham, and I think that's going to be key. You look back through some of their recent results in the Premier League. Last four games in the Premier League, both teams have scored, and both teams have scored twice as well in the last four games, with West Ham drawing at Chelsea 2-2, drawing against Crystal Palace at home 2-2. They had that 3-3 with Arsenal where Andy Carroll got the hat-trick, and then drew 2-2, as mentioned, with Leicester at the weekend. Watford just don't have those sort of goals in their team. You look at the two players that have basically guided them to the safety in the first half of the season in Troy Deeney and Odion Ighalo, and they are not playing with the same sort of quality as they were earlier in the season. Ighalo's gone 10 in the Premier League without scoring. Troy Deeney's only got 3 in 10. And only 7 different players have scored all season for Watford. I don't know how they keep up in this game. That's my concern if you're thinking about a pro-Watford bet. The one factor that surprised me at the weekend was you saw a little bit of weakness in Dimitri Payet for the first time. Danny Simpson crushed him in the first minute of that game, and Payet was pretty anonymous after that. Yeah. Really had a poor match, and maybe getting stuck into Payet, maybe that's what he doesn't like. So it'll be interesting to see if there's a couple of reducers out there on Payet early on. But West Ham, I think, will win this game. They haven't been beaten at home in the league since August the 22nd. They've gone 14 unbeaten at Upton Park. They've never, ever gone 15 in a row at home without defeat. So they'll be looking at that. And I think Andy Carroll will come back into the team. He is a real handful when he gets going, Andy Carroll, as we saw at the weekend when he was brought on. And I think he'll start this game. Andy Carroll's 5-4 to score any time. But I think West Ham will win. I don't think there's any goals in the Watford team. I don't see Watford scoring. So I'm going West Ham to win 2-0 as my main bet here at 8-5. And I'll play Andy Carroll to score any time as well.
Okay, I'm not sure if Kike Sanchez Flores has got much experience of Sunday League football in England, but do you think he's going to go with the mentality, get into him first tackle of the game, absolutely destroy him?
He should do.
He won't want to know.
He should do. That could be the way to defend against Dimitri Payet, because not much else has worked this season. But they're struggling badly for goals, Watford, and I don't see them scoring.
Mm. On to the other game on Wednesday evening. Manchester United play host to Crystal Palace. It's 4-7 for Man United. The draw is 13-5. Crystal Palace are 6-1. We've got a couple of enhanced odds markets here as well. Marcus Rashford to score in a Man United win is enhanced from 29-20 to 2-1. And Emmanuel Adebayor to score in a Palace win is 12-1 from 8-1. Man United are quietly picking up results at the moment. They've won 4 of their last 5 games. Their only defeat coming against Tottenham. And they take on a Crystal Palace side who, for the life of me, Dave, I cannot work out, because the result against Arsenal was a pretty good result. They drew with Everton as well. They beat Norwich. I suppose the results have picked up. They're doing okay. But then again, I wouldn't know what to expect here.
No, it's a tough game to call, really. And they've got to 39 points now, Palace, which has pretty much secured their Premier League status for another season. You've not hidden your allegiance as well on this podcast, because the way you said Manchester United keep picking up points with that sour look on your face told the tale, really. But they do. They have. And that 1-0 win against Aston Villa, albeit it was a pretty dreadful performance, and Villa hit the post late on there and could have got that 1-1 draw. You think only beating Aston Villa 1-0 at home is almost like losing a game, really, in terms of the performance.
Yeah. They shouldn't be allowed any points for that.
Should get them taken off you. Yeah, it wasn't good. It went pretty much how I expected that game, Manchester United and unders. And I think we'll have a similar scenario here. Yeah. I think Manchester United will win this game 1-2-0. You look at their recent statistics, 5 of the last 6 Man United league games have finished 1-0. They've won 4 of those and lost one of them. And Crystal Palace have failed to score in 10 of their 13 Premier League games against Manchester United, and 5 of the last 6 at Old Trafford as well. Manchester United have won their last 8 at home against Crystal Palace, and Palace haven't won on the road since back in December, mid-December. They've drawn 5 and lost 3 of their last 8 away from home. It will be interesting to see what team Louis van Gaal selects, because Anthony Martial was rested at the weekend, and I think Marcus Rashford, even though he scored again against Aston Villa, his strike rate, by the way, is incredible. He's got 7 in his 12 appearances for Manchester United. He's only had 10 shots on target for them so far and scored 7 of them.
Yeah.
But he might be rested, I think, for this game, and Martial might come in. But Manchester United, and under 2.5 goals, 11-5, I think's a knocking bet here.
Yeah, it does look a decent bet, that. I mean, if they're only scoring 1 against Villa, well, they're going to struggle to break down Palace, because you saw how Palace set up against Arsenal at the weekend. I thought it was a good Palace performance, especially given that, you know, they've got a FA Cup semi-final coming up. What worried me about the Londoners is the comment of the manager, Alan Pardew, afterwards. He was basically saying, yeah, that's it, we're safe now. We can concentrate on the FA Cup. Well, you know, had he forgotten that he got a midweek game at Man United? Obviously, he hadn't forgotten, but it was almost a carte blanche to his players. So, you know, let's not worry about that now, we're safe. And that really worries me. That, you know, it's a big point to United, but United are 4-7, and I can't back them at those kind of odds. What I would say is that we all know Man United earlier in the season, it was always 0-0 at half time. Trafford improved a little bit on that point, but if you look at Palace's recent matches, I think in 4 of their last 6 games of it have been 0-0 at half time. Could even easily have been 5 at the weekend. You know, Arsenal scored in the last kick of the first half. So I'm going to go 2-1 for it to be goalless at half-time. That looks a massive price to me.
Just a quick word on a Palace scorer as well. Emmanuel Adebayor. I know that he's had his critics throughout his career. But when he came on against Arsenal at the weekend, they were a much better side, Crystal Palace. I just wonder whether he'll start this game. He's a little bit skinny in the anytime scorer market, because I don't expect, if Palace do score, they'll only get 1, I think. He's 14-5 to score any time, Emmanuel Adebayor. But he's got 3 Premier League goals against Manchester United for various clubs. And all 3 of those have been scored at Old Trafford. So 14-5, I'd have wanted a little bit bigger on Adebayor, but worth mentioning anyway.
Well, let's move on to the final game we're going to look at. Thursday evening, Arsenal take on West Brom. Arsenal are 2-7. The draw is 4-1, and West Brom are 11-1. Enhanced odds for this game: Alex Iwobi to score an Arsenal win is 2-1 from 6-4. And Sadio Berahino to score in a West Brom win is 33-1, having been 18-1. Arsenal, with a game in hand, and if they win this game as well, they could potentially go back up to third in the league. I suppose you could say they're trying to stay in the title race, although I think that's all but gone. And West Brom are struggling at the moment, Derek. So 2-7, is that far too short here? Am I missing something?
Well, it is, because I watched them against Palace on Sunday, Arsenal, and they looked bereft of everything. It was a really poor performance, and I couldn't possibly back them at 2-7. Especially against the Tony Pulis side, who, you know what he'll do? You'll know he'll go to Arsenal. He won't be trying. There won't be anything. He won't exactly be throwing caution to the wind. He'll be keeping it tight. And Arsenal looking capable of breaking down Palace at the weekend, who set up in a similar kind of way. I'm going to go for West Brom plus 2 goals here at even. Yeah, I know they lost at home to Watford at the weekend, which on paper looks terrible. But as Dave was rightly pointed out, 2 penalties missed. They could easily have had 3 points. And 2-7. How can you possibly be back at 2-7, Paul, given the way Arsenal are performing at the moment? I just couldn't touch them. So even money, West Brom plus 2 goals looks a tremendous bet to me.
I think it is all about trust here, Derek, isn't it? Can you trust Arsenal to put in a performance at the Emirates and win this game? Because they weren't good at the weekend against Crystal Palace, drawing that game 1-1. I thought it was a very poor performance. I think I'd rather back Alexis Sanchez to produce in this game. Alexis Sanchez is in the market at 19-20. Slight odds on to score in this game, but he's got 4 in his last 6 Premier League games. And he's a streaky striker, or just plays just behind the striker. You know what I mean. Before that, he'd only scored 1 in his previous 10, and he does tend to score his goals in clumps, and he scored in successive games at the Emirates as well. So I think that Alexis Sanchez will get on the score sheet here. The problem with West Brom is they are safe now. They've made their way onto 40 points. And that 1-0 loss against Watford, as we've mentioned at the weekend, doesn't tell the full story, obviously, with Berahino missing those two penalties. I think Arsenal win, but I would never, ever bat them at 2-7 here. And given what Derek mentioned about West Brom being very, very difficult to break down, I'm actually going to introduce a market that's just below the goal scorer markets on the website, and it's the correct score group betting. I like Arsenal to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 in this game, which is 8-5. When you consider they are 2-7 to win this match, you've got three results there. I expect it will be low scoring. Tony Pulis will set his side up to defend. So Arsenal to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 is in the betting at 8-5. Tight, but Arsenal break them down eventually, but I wouldn't trust them at 2-7.
Actually, that does look a big price, doesn't it? A big difference, that, isn't it, for a scoreline that look most likely as well. If you fancy Arsenal,
it's one of those situations, Derek, where because they're so short at 2-7, that means that those big scores like 3-0, 4-0, 5-0 are all runners in the correct score betting market. So you're getting if you do expect it to be low scoring, you're getting good value on that market.
Indeed.
West Brom did beat Arsenal at the Hawthorns earlier on in the season as well. And we've seen time and time again that Arsenal can't deal with the kind of bullies at set pieces and so on and so forth. I just wonder if 11-1 is just too ludicrous to ignore.
It's one of those prices here, Derek. When we talked about Arsenal versus Palace, which is a very similar game at the weekend in terms of Palace and West Brom, quite comparable this season, especially with their respective points tallies. Yeah. And Palace were 8-1 to win at Arsenal. Why are West Brom 11-1?
I was about to say, well, West Brom have got nothing to play for, but Palace didn't either, really. So I wouldn't argue with that. But I just, Pulis would be delighted with 0-0, wouldn't he? The West Brom manager, Tony Pulis, you know. I wouldn't put anybody off, but I'm going to play safe. I'm going to do the Leif Phelps approach and play safe. -2 goals,
That'll be a huge price. Good stuff, guys. Anyway, been a pleasure. Good luck and enjoy the midweek football.
Thank you, sir.
Cheers, lads. Speak to you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.